being in the Department of Animal Science at Cornell. His primary research interests are in genetic evaluation and methodology and selection strategies as they relate to beef cattle. Dr. Pollack is the director of the National Beef Cattle Evaluation Consortium in the U.S., and this consortium consists of universities involved in genetic evaluation research for beef cattle and is supported by USDA special research grant. The NBCEC functions to organize research priorities in beef cattle genetic evaluation and selection and carries out national educational program in these areas. Dr. Pollack has been recognized by the beef industry for his research and extension programs, which include the New York State Beef Producers President's Award, the New York State Beef Producers Educator of the Year Award, VIF Pioneer Award, and was elected into the World Simmental Federation Golden Book, and with his colleague Dick Kwas was selected by Beef Magazine as one of the top 40 most influential people in the U.S. beef industry. Dr. Pollack is currently involved in research projects being conducted by NBCEC, investigating genetic contributions to healthfulness of beef products, health and stress in feedlot steers, and reproduction. John, please take it away.
Tied together quite a bit through the way we've exchanged germplasms, the way we've used our genetics in both countries. And this has sort of led to some formal ties between our breed associations. And in fact, we've gotten involved in terms of running genetic evaluations that include both populations of particular breeds within those evaluations. And we did this because, for example, when we started doing evaluations for Simmental, we had separate evaluations that caused confusion. Animals differed. Nobody believed us, and it was just the samples of progeny. There was all this concern about those kinds of numbers coming out. And we merged them, and that started a synergism between those associations and the genetic evaluation programs that came out of it. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this because Ken Anderson has sort of surveyed things, and he's going to make a presentation here in BIF that is on collaborations between Canadian and the U.S. and talking about many of these aspects. And what I'm going to try to do tonight is lean us towards a thought process as we go through BIF. That's the nice thing about being the first speaker, I guess, is you get a chance to say, let's think about this meeting and all the presentations within this meeting under a certain theme. And the theme I'm going to present tonight is a transition. And as we go through these various talks, we can ask questions about how are we doing in terms of transitioning from where we are today to where we need to be. And then I get the pleasure on Thursday morning to come back up here and talk about how we thought we did in terms of identifying useful ways to make this transition. So if you get any ideas through any of these presentations, today, tomorrow, and Thursday morning relative to, hey, you know what that leads me to think we ought to be doing here in the next couple of weeks, months, years? Let me know, and I'll try and incorporate that kind of thing in the summary on Thursday. These genetic ties that our industries have produced for us have obligated us as researchers to get involved in collaborative efforts, and we've done that. We've trained students from Canada. Canada's trained students from the U.S. We've gotten involved in joint scientific meetings. One of the pleasures we had for many years at Cornell was traveling annually to Guelph and hosting them as well down at Cornell in what is now referred to as the Kennedy Colloquium. And there's going to be another one of those as a big event coming up before your animal science meetings. And we do collaborate on projects, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So here we find this industry merger or this industry synergism that exists across the borders, and we have a meeting that, as you heard, has been held here in Canada several times. I missed the last one in Calgary. I was in Korea. I sounded the same. I almost got close, I guess. And we have producers coming to both of those meetings from both countries. And so we have a foundation, if you will, of opportunities where we've exchanged germplasm, we've got a central forum in BIF, and we've documented and can document interactions between various levels of producers and research and extension. So you might ask the question, why do we need to keep the genetic doors open as we have? Or maybe should we be thinking about opening them wider? Well, I believe we absolutely need to, because we are really in the midst of a transition. And it's a somewhat troubling transition, in my opinion, and we'll go through some of the reasons for that and some of the reasons why I think we need to focus on opportunities to work not only together within our states and within your provinces, but across them as well. Today, and it's going to be a genetic talk, so this is the transition we're going to be talking about. Today's selection is done mainly on EPDs, and we are supplementing that selection with information from DNA technology in the form of commercial tests or parent identification to help us get better information on the pedigrees of the animals that we're using. And someday, and as I mentioned when I was here in Banff a couple weeks ago practicing this talk, someday we're going to get to a point where the DNA technology becomes the most important tool that we're going to be using. And that's going to happen when we're able to characterize the specific actions of the combinations of the genes, when we can talk about how those genes work across different environments. And this is a monumental task. Let's not minimize it. But it is something we are currently engaged in and moving forward through in terms of research, the research community, and we'll start to do that. However, it's sort of been my observation that we as an industry and a community involved with beef cattle have been sort of paralyzed by this promise. The technology is changing rapidly, and we sort of find ourselves caught in this sort of paralyzing position of not knowing what to do today, because everything seems to be, at some point in time, this is the answer. And we've been waiting for that. And we've been doing things business as usual in terms of how we've approached the industry selection programs and whatnot, as we've been waiting for this to come to a realization. We could be criticized for this inaction, because we've talked, if you go through the previous BIF proceedings and whatnot, we've talked about critical needs of capturing DNA information into central databases, of producing these populations that allow us to do validation and discovery. And yet, when you look around and say, if we were to assess how we've performed to this point, we might have to concede that we really haven't tackled this problem appropriately. Okay? So with that challenge in mind, the focus that I'd like us to consider as we move through this BIF is not to sit here and think about how are we going to behave when we get there, but how are we going to engage in this transition from today to this point out there in time someday. Now, you need an objective as you go through this process. And to me, at each stage of this transition, We have a simple question to ask. We'll have data of some sort, phenotypic pedigree, DNA, etc., and we can ask the question, tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, whatever that data may be, our objective is to have the tools and the knowledge to use it to make the right decision or the best decision we can make at the time that decision is made. Not saying 10 years from now we could have made it differently, but to say with what we have today, this is what we can do in terms of the best decision. Now, BIS has been the forum, if you think about it, for the beef industry where transitions have been addressed historically. It was established to address what we think of now as the data revolution, when we started using performance information to change the cattle industry and get engaged in using that information in selection processes. When EPD started to become the tool of the future back in the 70s and 80s, BIF was the central location where it was discussed and debated and expanded upon, and the educational programs were used to support it. So this is the meeting. There are many reasons why this is the meeting, other than just the fact that historically BIF has been the place where we debate and discuss these things. Everybody who needs to be here is here. Researchers, extension specialists, breed associations, all of which have a role in how we move this technology and capture the information surrounding this technology to where it needs to be. Support industries are growing in the area of DNA technology, growing in their sophistication and growing in their ability to understand their own tool to help us better understand how they're getting there. And finally, the ultimate consumer of that, the person who has to put that program into place, is the producer, and this is where we can start to talk about the use of those appropriately. So at this year's BIF, I challenge us to start to think about, at every presentation you listen to, how is this helping us understand what we need to do today or next year? What steps are being laid out in these presentations we need to consider to try and formalize in order to be able to move this transition in an efficient manner from where we are today to where we need to be tomorrow when we make that decision that we want to make with the best effort based on what we have. And we should also pay attention when we think about this to the reduction in duplication. This technology, at least in terms of discovery and development, is not cheap. And we need to avoid, in all possible mannerisms, the duplication of expenditures. And that duplication can occur across state experiment stations and research units. That duplication can occur across breed associations, and it can occur across countries. And we're coming into a situation where we have an opportunity to rethink how we structure things in order to avoid that duplication. So all of this argues towards keeping the genetic doors open, or maybe even opening them wider. Now we are collaborating. We're collaborating in a variety of different opportunities at the research level, and I just want to share a few of them with you that have been successes or that are underway. There's a powerful tool that's currently being applied to a lot of populations of beef cattle in the discovery phase that's going to help and enhance the opportunities, we hope, for discovery of genes that will impact our production traits. And that was a collaborative effort across the borders between organizations to produce the necessary information to go on that particular chip. We also have validation, which is an important process to thinking about how you get this DNA information replicated so that we know the resulting efficacy of the tests that come out. And we have a project now going on where we are doing a validation in the NBCEC, and there are external organizations involved, external to the NBCEC, involved in this validation. Well, and Lethbridge are involved in this, as well as the Beef CRC in Australia. taking advantage of existing resources and trying to move the process for transferring this information in a manner to the industry. And Dick Kwas is going to talk about this and validation processes in the Genetic Prediction Committee, or I guess it's actually in the Emerging Technology Committee on Thursday. So let's think about where we are if we're going to transition. We have multiple companies that are providing services in the area of parent identification and verification. We have individual DNA tests that are out there and available. They're growing. They're growing in not only their number of traits that we're adding to the portfolio, but they're growing in the magnitude of the number of markers associated with them. So this is an evolving process that we're facing in this situation right now. I mentioned this important tool that's coming down the pipeline and being used actually right now, these large SNP arrays you'll be hearing a lot about, and they provide for genome-wide discovery and an opportunity to find more of those particular genes that are associated with the traits to explain more and more genetic variation. And this is being applied in both Canada and the U.S., and it's going to be used in Australia as well. So we're going to be seeing a lot of individual animals, not only nationally but internationally, being exposed to this particular tool. And there's going to be discussion of this whole genome-enabled animal selection that's going to take place in the Emerging Technology Committee meeting on Thursday. And we can sit and think about where is this putting us in terms of information we're going to be generating, and let's prepare for it rather than react to it. What about EPDs? They're still a very critical tool. They've sort of become the old technology, but it's the kind of old technology we can't really do without at the moment. But we do have to recognize that producing EPDs has a financial cost associated with it, and an infrastructure needed to be in place in order to support the delivery of that selection tool to us. And as these MBVs, these molecular breeding values that are going to be established and developed with the current tools and future tools, the emphasis on the phenotypic and pedigree information is going to be diminished. And in fact, in some point in time, we could argue that if we could explain enough of the genetic variation with these tests, then as an industry, we ought to be considering how do we spend our resources now in order to capture more information out of the dollars we spend, given now that we have some opportunity to relieve the industry of certain data collection obligations. We're not going to take away the necessity of data, but we have to start thinking now about how we can utilize those resources in an effective manner someday. However, our initial efforts in the area of molecular breeding values is not likely to account for that much genetic variation to get us over that hump, over a threshold, where we switch our programs entirely for quite some time. And so rather than sitting here in a status quo situation waiting for that to happen, that crossing of the threshold, we need to consider what to do, because right now these particular technologies are being kept separate. So in the foreseeable future, we know EPDs are going to continue to be an important component. But we probably shouldn't invest in a large amount of infrastructure, data collection, and capture for traits where we have to start from scratch. We have an alternative technology we can invest our dollars in to get to perhaps a better point than using that. And some examples are projects we have going on in healthfulness and animal health, and we'll be hearing about some of those projects during the course, we being the NBCEC, during the course of this meeting. Now, currently, these two technologies are being kept separate. And if we were to ask the question, if we had DNA tests and we have EPDs and we look at those, are we optimizing the selection decisions that we have to make based on those two pieces of information? If we're keeping them separate, the answer is probably no, we are not. And one of the best ways to look at this in terms of where the conflicts may lie is that there's a tremendous emphasis placed when we had a small number of markers associated with a particular panel on trying to accumulate the number of markers, positive markers, associated with that trait. And were we paying fair price for additional stars as we added them to panels under one system, or higher scores if we looked at other systems of recording this information? The answer is probably no. We weren't looking at those under the right economic models. So we have to do something in terms of the merger of these technologies. So here's a step towards a transition. Let's think about not what we're going to be able to do out there in the future with just the DNA technology. Let's get there by merging this technology. Now, we've talked about this for years, but we've done very little in terms of actually making that happen. And I think we really need to start to consider this more seriously in terms of application. We're going to hear a couple talks. Denny Cruz is going to talk about certain methods of getting this information put together for that selection decision. And then Steve Katzman is going to talk in the genetic prediction workshop about integration of molecular breeding values into genetic evaluations with a particular example based on real data, based on tenderness MBVs given to us for use in this project by MMI, Pfizer Animal Genomics, and iGenity. So we have the same animals with all three tests put together into a genetic evaluation using the carcass merit. And Steve's going to tell you a little bit about what he saw in that particular project that he was doing. Well, we do have some constraints. There's no mechanism for movement of DNA information efficiently into a national database. But this provides us an opportunity. And the opportunity it provides us, being that it's a very new technology without a great infrastructure out there currently in place to support it in terms of accumulation of data, is to think differently as an organization as to how to create that infrastructure. Okay, let's start thinking about, during the variety of talks we hear, how can we move information to where we can use it most efficiently. Now, we currently operate under a tremendous constraint in terms of looking at our national data for beef cattle both across the U.S. and Canada. And since we merge them quite often in genetic evaluations, we're also looking at this as being a constraint to the international part of it. And that is, we have all of these disparate databases. And anytime we want to do something where we include several breeds in any kind of an analysis, we have to bring them together. And this is a very daunting task that has constrained our abilities to do this. Now, I hope during this meeting, when we start talking about the various data sets and data accumulation and programs that are going on both nationally and internationally between our countries, that we start to look for ways of unifying our data. Let's do it now. Let's start building the system now so that we aren't, by default, going back to the number of disparate data sets that currently exist. And we've got a plethora of talks by some very good people that are going to cover data, data flow, data capture, and other things like that. Let's think about, while we're listening to those presentations and hearing that kind of discussion, does it make sense for us to organize a way to get that data together? Now, here's an example. The U.S. Meat Animal Research Center is committed to doing 2,000 bulls where they are actually going to run this 50K panel. And it's done with the expectation that this particular large panel is going to become a standard or a subset of even a bigger SNP panel in the future. And so you have an opportunity, if you go out and do 2,000 individuals across a variety of breeds, mainly the bulls, that you've established some kind of foundation. There's a USDA grant that's going to go out and genotype, and has already genotyped, a very large number of bulls. And just in a little bit of conversation we've had in the last couple weeks regarding these two projects, there was a large number of overlap in the bulls both of these projects were going to do. This SNP panel is not cheap to run. And we can take advantage of collaboration and cooperation to make sure that we don't waste the industry's money. Money that goes into my research program is your money, and I shouldn't waste it by duplicating the genotyping of animals that currently exist out there. So, we are looking then at using this panel over a wide variety of projects coming down the road, and that particular program of genotyping these animals might be one where we start this process to build an international pedigree file that contains any genotype on any animal that's gone through a process. What does this mean? It means collaboration across research programs. It means collaboration across breed associations, across countries. It means collaborations between the DNA companies and getting that information centralized. Why can't we do that? What are the constraints? What are the impediments? As we go through this program, let's consider those in terms of how we move forward on this. The NBCEC has started to build this pedigree file when we were looking at multi-breed genetic evaluation. All we need to do is start thinking today, how do we, keep from moving forward when you're not supposed to, how do we get that genotypic information moved appropriately somewhere? And I'm sort of suggesting that somewhere should not be across a variety of different databases that then require us to bring it together, make sure we've got animals cross-referenced correctly. Let's get it together right away. So think about that as we go through this. Now, DNA tests have opened up a whole new arena of areas we can do research on traits we couldn't think of developing EPDs for in the past. That's a great thing until you sit down and think, as producers, you're going to be faced with another 12 traits. How do you fit the feed efficiency markers into your particular feed efficiency phenotypes if you're collecting them, and that into the decisions you have to make with all the other traits that are existing out there? And we're going to be hearing a lot about new traits in a presentation by Mark Enns when he talks about new trait development. Now, many of these traits are expensive, very, very expensive to measure. And we're not going to be doing this routinely. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how do we optimize exploration into new traits, both nationally and internationally, so we're not doing more animals than we need to do for discovery, than we need to do for validation, that we have resources we can share for that if we're looking into discovery for these new traits. One thing we can do is develop partnerships between research communities and support industries and producers to create these databases. And a couple examples of this, I think, are very good ones. The NBCEC Healthfulness Project, which is a project that's being led at Iowa State University on fatty acid distribution in beef, with an eye on looking at how can you change that distribution to produce, in the eyes of the medical society, healthier products. That's being done at Iowa State in collaboration with Oklahoma State and UC Davis. Pfizer Animal Genomics has fronted that particular project in terms of supporting the data collection and analyses. We have producers who have consigned animals to us that we can capture that information from, and those are being put together to create a database that's beyond the capability of any university, at least in the States, to create on their own, or any grant to support the data collection from. And up here at a meeting at Banff, we heard of a lot of research that was going on in collaboration with the organizations here as well. So our challenges as an industry, as we transition from where we are today to where we're going to be someday, we need populations of animals, well pedigreed, well phenotyped, and in a particular opportunities for us to capitalize on those. We need a new infrastructure. We need to be thinking about that, and we need programs to utilize that. And we should do it with very little duplication and with an eye on the transition, and the goal still being to optimize a selection decision with the information we know we're going to have next month, not with what we hope to have 10 years down the road. So here's my challenge to us all as we go through this meeting. We should be thinking about keeping the genetic doors open across all those levels I mentioned: research, extension, breed associations, support industries and producers, and we should be looking at how we can utilize that collaboration to navigate our way through the next couple of years as we transition from today to someday. Thursday, we can talk about how we did during this meeting in accomplishing that objective. Glenn?